50. I get it. Yeah. I run New York. I get it. What better way to bring in the new year with a 50 song, right?
It's a five.
I mean, I should have had the wrap up plan, but that's too damn long, and you got to hear the whole song if you're going to have a wrap up plan. Shout out to Uncle Murder.
We ain't going there. We're going to stay with our 50 tactics because 50's definitely been getting to the money. Welcome back. We have a new episode of Economics. I think that deserves a round of applause. Because it's been a while. We have actually a new special guest with us today, Nadia Vanderhall, classmate of mine, Smithite, very knowledgeable person about economics, about pop culture things as well. So we're going to definitely get into some, you know, pop culture economic things tonight. But, you know, this is Shooting the Shit.
We shooting the motherfucking shit, y'all, on a new year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Facts. Happy New Year.
The first show to 2023. And I think we're starting it off right.
Yeah, we got to get into some economics, man, because tax season's right around the corner. So it's going to be a lot of mindless spending going on. So we needed to call in an expert, somebody to settle everybody down a little bit for 2023.
Definitely. So it's a few things.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna need all these little tricks now that the baby's coming. I'm gonna need all these little, you know.
Well, that is a thing to consider. You know, we got the baby coming. You know, people are moving. They got a whole bunch of new things going on. But one of the pressing things that I actually saw. Nadia is a huge content creator as well. One of the topics I think I talked about was Cardi B saying that we are in an economic recession still, and that regardless of you having money or not, you have to kind of be mindful of how you spend it.
Facts.
Okay.
So Nadia, what's your insight or what's your thoughts? What's your feelings about this or whatnot? I mean, this is a common thing that a lot of people struggle with, you know, being able to balance money. A lot of times we say that we're going to get that extra check. You know, we're going to do this with our money. And a lot of times we spend the money before we even get the actual money itself. Talk to us. What's your thoughts, though? What's your thoughts about actually, like, you know, being smarter with your money?
My whole theory is that tax time seems to bring out the money in everybody. Everybody wants to see that everything looks even better, and their bank account doesn't even make any sense. So I love to reference Cardi. Interestingly enough, I just referenced her today because she was talking about inflation and how lettuce is $6, which is true, because she's pretty much on point. When it comes to tax season, though, a lot of people see all these tips and tricks of what you can do to make your, what to do, how to flip your money during tax season. But the time of it, being right at the beginning of the year, January is financial wellness month, is that I wish people would actually put their financial objectives to understand how to, you know, elongate their taxes, their whatever they get back, because technically taxes is pretty much what you have already given the government, and they just like, hey, we're going to give this back. But the thing around tax time is that, yes, you can maximize your write-offs, yes, you can maximize any kind of thing that you can get, but I want you to maximize how long that money lasts. So like I was talking about financial objectives, is that those are pretty much your financial goals that you have for not only tax season, but for the year going, because everyone loves to talk about generational wealth. But when we saw the whole stimulus thing went down and PPP, that kind of gave a leeway to how people can get money unexpectedly, don't set a plan for it, and then wonder why it's not panning out or lasting beyond what we anticipated to be. So the thing that I'm really hoping people take from the stimulus, PPP, anything that we just came out of, and aligning when it comes to tax season, is that this is money you've already have given the government, A. B, that you need to fully have a plan for it. Plan your paper. That was one of the things I talked about, especially during the pandemic. That's one of the things I talked about with Angela Yee, is that people get their money and then just act funny about it. So whenever you do go ahead and get it back, you know, the actual filing, where are you currently at right now? How are you doing an audit of your wallet? Are you behind on anything? Do you have a savings account? Do you have emergency savings? F it funds, if I love to call it. And what are you going to do with however much you're going to get back to make sure it applies to what you need to do and actually multiplies over time? Some people, they love to get it, go out, shop, get crab legs. I love crab legs.
That's just a crab legs. You've been to City Island before?
Huh?
I said, you've been to City Island before?
I'm from South Carolina, so I got family out there, but I have it. But people think about, oh, it's tax season, let me go ahead and buy this, buy this, buy that, but they don't actually buy themselves freedom to, down the line. So when I say about audit your wallet, knowing where you are with your credit cards, knowing where you are with any kind of outstanding loans, not student loans, we ain't worried about that right now, where you are with any loans and how are you ahead of the game, so whenever something was to happen. I think Amazon is planning to lay off 17,000 people. So if you find yourself on the foot of that right now, how are you prepared for it? How can you take your taxes and actually plan for it later on? So audit your wallet, make a plan for your paper. When you understand where you are financially, how can you actually start configuring, where am I ahead of bills? Am I saving? Do I have an emergency fund? And then how can I actually start aligning? Do I invest in the stock market? Do I go ahead and pay off my highest credit card debt? Do I actually start to get ahead of my car payments? Do I start to actually start the one that you said that they have kids? How am I setting my kids up? You're not your broke friends, but your rich friends, your rich little friends. So if you're getting a certain amount of money back, are you taking that money to actually build their wealth down the line? Even if it's investing it, putting their money into a custodial Roth IRA to be seen down the line, or are you putting it into a 529? So it can go any kind of way. Is that you audit your wallet, you're making a plan for your paper before you even get what you're getting back. And then whenever you do get the money, where are you placing it? It's not going all into the same account that you already.
Do you have percentages? Do you have percentages of where you should invest? Maybe your paychecks and stuff like that. Because everybody kind of has different things that they try to do. Do you have any percentages? And maybe
I know everyone talks about when it comes to their budget, a 50-30-20-20, because 50-30-20. My whole theory is about these ratios is that you should be realistic with where you are financially. If your home is 50% of your income and your car bills are 30% and then whatever, the ratios need to be realistic to you. Because I had a lot of clients that have told me that ratio doesn't make sense because I spend more on my expenses than I do my home due to the fact I stay with someone or I'm house hacking. So you have to make sure any ratio that you have for you makes sense, because Dave Ramsey, hates right name drop, he might tell you to do one thing, but you look at what you actually are bringing in, it doesn't make any sense. So that's why I love to tell people to audit their wallet to understand where you are financially, where are those potholes, where are you spending money, and then how are you separating your money. Don't have all of your money and taxes, pay checks or anything going into one account. Split it up, divide it up. To have where this is the account that it's going into, but this is the account that I pay any bills. This is the account that I build for, meaning it's savings, investing in the stock market, and you have another account for where you blow. I like Target. I like Sephora. I like Facebook Nature. So you have to have a blow fund. Why I say that is because a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck, are not really good with their money, but they don't need to neglect what they like to do, what they like to buy. I like to buy sneakers. So I already know that I have a sinking fund or within my blow fund that is designated for any shoes that are about to drop that I want. So that's why I love to say audit your wallet, understand where you are currently, where you're trying to go, and what moves and methods that it will take to get there, no matter if it's tax season or any other day that ends in Y. That you're actually aligning to where you are financially, where you're going, and then how can you let tax season be like the come up to align to where those plans you have for your money to be.
Yeah, you mentioned sneakers, so you're speaking my language. But, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned, because you're very active on social media, do you think social media has created more confusion than actual help? Because as you mentioned, we have so many gurus and people telling you, you should be doing this with your money, and this is the path to financial freedom. What are your thoughts on that, and how do you think that's affecting the way people are saving their money?
I've received so many commentary, especially during 2020, with the whole meme stock, with everything popping off, and everybody gets a little knowledge and think that they're a guru, which is nothing wrong with that. Everybody has their own level of insight. But the whole theory of this is that you have to double down on who you're looking to, if they have any social proof, if what they're actually putting into place is being done somewhere else. Have you seen them done that? Have they done it in the past? And I mean, it's allowed social media to be a place where people can learn about their money, but a lot of people are getting confused by, I heard someone says this and this is something different. I heard somebody say this is something different. I had someone inbox me saying, well, I thought that you couldn't, that you should only invest in, if you do this, I don't, hey, do what you do, that you should invest in penny stocks or meme stocks, and then now all of them is going to, because you have to understand what they're telling you in the context. A lot of people that are in that talk finance, they'll love to say it depends. It does depend. A lot of the things do depend, but if they can't give you context within the content on what that depends means and what kind of risk that you can see, they're not doing you any due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I mean, let me just take a quick minute to shout out everybody that's on the live right now. So we got some people tuning in. Just guys, if you want, drop a comment. Let us know if you got some questions for Envy and or for us. Just drop them in the comment section, and we'll get to them in a minute. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/shootingthesh. All right. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook, as well as on Instagram at Shooting the Pod. Follow us and follow Envy as well. If you want to get your, you know,
Nadia.
No, it's Nadia. Okay.
I said
it's okay.
I was saying Envy, Sean. I was saying Envy because Envy knows in the.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah. I ain't gonna.
Yeah. Listen. All right. But
look, he just following what he see. I understand.
Okay. My apologies, brother.
Come on, I'm on it, bro. I just want to get the Instagram out there. You know, we got to try to get the followers up.
Got to get the Insta, right?
Exactly.
That's a fact.
Got to get
what
the
advice? You talked about having separate accounts. You talked about the game plan, which I really like as well. For the parents out there like myself and Bree, soon to be parent, what type of advice would you give us in terms of saving long term for our kids? Whether it be for school or just setting up the right account for them so that they're financially stable when they become of age. We're not trying to leave no bad cable bills in name. We're not trying to repeat them
cycles. Or lights and people and children.
Yeah, yeah, we're not doing that.
They own lights.
Well, you can't do that.
They can't do that. I think one of the things that I just tweeted about this, or I posted it somewhere, where one of the things that I'm so grateful for is that my parents didn't have a lot. They were kind of middle class, but their mannerisms helped me more than just the monetary. Even when my dad passed away, yes, you know, got money. But the mannerisms is going to help. You're showing kids, and what you're doing is going to help them along the way. That's what happened for me. I'm grateful for it. But some of the things, especially if you are a new or your kids are young, that you do look to leverage either a custodial type accounts, rather is UGMA, UTMA, 529, or just a custodial Roth account that you are looking to see what's the plan do I have for my kids? Can they have the options that they can have regardless if they go to college or they don't go to college? And a lot of states, interestingly enough, are starting to offer 529s, which are going to be backed by the state. I think California is one that I have off the top of my head that they're starting to give, I believe, either $500 or something of that nature. So if you have to look to see if your state has that, but going back to the whole thing, showing your kids what you do on your day to day when it comes to money, as well as what path are they going to take? some kids now, they can go to college and not get any scholarships, or they can potentially, the 529, yeah, 529 that you get, that now they're starting to actually put that as income, which is not good for kids, especially if they're trying to qualify for any kind of scholarships. So the thing I would say is, say for instance, if I'm an auntie, I have a couple of nieces and nephews. too many to count. I'm the last of the Mohicans with no kids. But all of my nephews and nieces, if I wanted to open up a custodial account for them, I can also say, hey, for their birthday, you can contribute towards this 529 or contribute to this Roth IRA. I've done that. I've contributed to my friends' kids if they have any of that. That is one thing that you can have the whole village do. Another thing is that I got my nephews and nieces investing in the stock market already. I contribute towards any that they do want to do. I teach them about, oh, well, you can you like Disney, you can invest in Disney. You like Nike, you can invest in Nike. Or I can look into a ETF or index fund that actually will get them gains over time. So if I was to have, say, for instance, get an extra $500 bonus or extra $500 here, I could put that into a custodial account, 529, or anything that is going to grow over time. One of the things that is on parents' side is that they have this thing called compound interest. If you start saving for your child in an account that will bear interest around like 5 to 7%, that you could potentially see almost, if not more, other than $1 million by the time they hit 18. So it depends on the type of account. I'm not going to try to get definitive, but yeah, you have to understand. Yeah, you have to understand where you can potentially leverage that down the line. If my child doesn't want to go to college, okay, that's fine. Do I have it in an account where if they don't want to go to college, they can do something else with that money?
Do people still get savings bonds? Like, that was the thing we was growing up. Like, I'm going to get you this savings bond, baby.
I just got my niece a savings bond.
But it's a different process now, though, right? Like, mm-hmm. You have to it changed a little bit. I don't know. How did it change, y'all? Like,
you can do it online, but it's certain things that you have to determine the terms in which you want the savings bond. The terms have changed and the interest rate has changed. Everybody's talking about I-bonds right now. I think the interest rate around those are 6 to 7%. I don't feel like picking up my phone. But the thing around this, if you do get any type of bond, that you have to make sure of the maturity date and if how it's going to be by that time. If you say, oh, I want an I-bond, what are you going to do with that money if it does keep that same rate? If it don't, then are you going to be able to be pulling it out whenever you do? But the thing of the matter is, you have to understand what goals do I have for my children? How much am I able to contribute even monthly, annually, or when I get tax season, or if I get a bonus? And then in what ways can I actually funnel that money for them to actually see it down the line? You can even do it when it comes to life insurance. I know that's a very touchy topic on LLC Twitter. Because everybody's been talking about universal index insurance policies. But getting them insurance policies, my parents got me an insurance policy when I was born. I think I seen that date. I was like, damn. Yeah, but then I have multiple insurance policies, but I still keep that one. So a lot of people talk about having insurance policies, but you can have multiple insurance policies because a lot of people use the cash benefit for investing or buying property or something of that nature. A lot of people in our culture do not talk about the cash benefit of life insurance policies that you can actually take and flip to do something else. Nobody talks about that.
But see, that's a whole different flip. I don't think we even knew about that. I've heard about people having
I was just about to ask you how what are your thoughts on that? Because that is something that it really isn't really talked about within our community. Uh-huh. But as I started to do a little research too, it's like, wow, this is something that we didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the ambulance, I hate that. They're active over here. But a lot of people see the death benefit, the cash benefit, or anything else, or such as the dividends, you can get is dividends tied to it as well. So a lot of people, especially during this economic situation that we're looking at, they don't want to pull from a 401k and get hit with withdrawals. You can actually pull from your cash benefit depending on the type of insurance that you have. And then if you want to pay it back, you can. It's almost like kind of doing a loan to yourself, or you can actually just let it ride.
Mm-hmm. That's the crazy flip.
I mean, no, you have to, as Nadia mentioned, though, you've got to be knowledgeable, and it's got to be structured the right way so that, mm-hmm. like you said, it's you're paying it back to yourself and you're fine.
I'm fine. But yeah, if you have to do with a withdrawal from your 401k, you're going to get hit because it's before 59 and a half, which I think is crazy, but I don't write the rules. But going back to the whole question that you were asking about kids, it's just the same way that you would do yourself. You plan your money for any kind of contingencies. Maybe they want to go to college. Maybe they don't. If they don't, this is the kind of account that you have. Will it flip for them to be benefit from it if they're going to go to college? What are the things that's going to potentially stack them for getting hurt down the line? Like I said, I think they have a grandparents clause where they can contribute, and it actually just got passed where it's not going to count towards income, which is going to hurt them for getting scholarships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does the economy kind of affect that though? Because I one of the things I kind of wanted to point out, like, you know, you coming out of school like 07, 08, you know, the economy was trash. I know I came out, I was working in TV production, and a lot of people was losing jobs, and you had one role, but you kind of did two and three things and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, with how things kind of fluctuate with rates and stuff like that, and we was talking about bonds and this and that, like how crazy of a hit is that though? Like with the economy, like right now, you know, like we were talking about, the price of bread is crazy, eggs is crazy, a lot of stuff is crazy.
With the Federal Reserve, or Jerome, I call him Jerome in the house with this, his real name is Jerome, is that whenever they do hike the interest rates, you're going to see both of these things go up. High yield savings accounts, the APY is going to go up, but also what we're seeing when it comes to mortgages, cost to borrow money in a sense, the purchase of car, anything like that is going to go up as well. It's crazy. But they're talking about they're not going to slash any rates through 2023, which I'm not shocked by that, because they're trying to actually not have a harsh recession, even though it is what it is. But I think I just posted today that CNBC said that they're noticing probably a 15% increase in people having car payments being over $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Because interest rates have gone up. Interest rates go up, it impacts how much it costs for you to actually borrow money, which is, in a sense, just a form of debt. But the benefit towards it is that if you want to start saving money, I rarely ever put any money into a traditional or regular high savings account, but I put any money into a CD or a high yield savings account. Because right now, Marcus is a little, it just gave me 4%, but it has 3.75 APY, so 4%. So you're going to get paid more for you to actually stash your money on a high yield savings account or a CD. But at the same time, if you want to go get a house, it's going to cost mm-hmm. more, because more of your payment is going towards the interest.
Okay.
So it's a mess. It's a mess.
But these are the things that we need to know when we're trying to maneuver, you know. We all around the same age, so we, you know, we're making these moves in life, you know. We got new additions going on, all type of different things. So, I mean, these are important things to know, because a lot of times we think we got to save, put in your savings account. But then, like, you know. Like, well, hell, based on even how much do they cover you up to? Like, maybe 100,000? How much is that? Like, if hypothetically, if you had all this amount of money in the account, how much do they even cover?
I think it was 250,000 on FDIC.
Okay. Okay.
The fact I remember that is not good. Yeah.
Listen, you got to have high hopes. You never know. You got to split it up and get it in different accounts.
Listen, you might have to. But, the thing of it is that a lot of people are not talking about the ways to save money, because if, like I talked about, the CD and the high yield savings account, I love those. But if, say, for instance, knock on wood, if something happens to my car and I got to get it fixed tomorrow, it's going to take me, what, 5+ business days for that money to come to me, versus if I have it in my regular savings account. Granted, it's no interest tied to it, I can still flip the money that way. But I think the thing that goes into savings is that people don't have a jet for it or don't have multiple savings accounts for different reasons. Like they say, give your money, each dollar a job, give each account a job. I have a savings account that is something happened and I can't wait for that money. I have it there. It's only but so much money, but the bulk of my savings is going into a high yield savings account or a CD. So.
Hey, Nadi, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you.
Definitely a lot of things to consider. You know, dropped a lot of gems, which is, you know, really good. You know, a lot of people don't know a lot of these things, and mm-hmm. a lot of things have changed over the years. As you know, like I said, we're all in the same age group, so you know, things that our parents did for us, you know, when we were growing up, are not really what it is now. So, you know, it's good to have this knowledge of new ways and new techniques and to build your money and save. And so it's great.
Nah, that was a lot of great info. Something else you have recently posted too. Let's get into a little bit of the pop culture. Takeoff. Obviously RIP the Last Rocket, but one of the things we're not hearing about now is that there's an internal battle right now. Mm-hmm. Over his estate, because he didn't have it documented, he didn't have it written out in an estate or will as to how he wanted his you know, his assets and his funds to be split up. What's going on with that? What are you hearing?
Pretty much the state of Georgia is that the next of kin will actually receive any kind of residuals, royalties, anything of that nature. He had no will, trust, or anything established. So his parents are estranged, if you can pick up what I'm putting down by that. Mm-hmm. But yet still, Mama Take has been the one that's been there the whole time. And now his dad is trying to come in and say, no, I'm not. It's not going to work that way. It's not going to automatically go to Mama Take. And the thing that I hate is that Takeoff is more than likely going to be seeing money consistently for the next couple of years, as long as Migos stuff is playing on Tidal. It is what it is. And he has his own works and then his own investments as well, properties, anything of that nature. And the thing that I was so upset about is that a lot of people think that, oh, I'm only 20. Oh, I'm only this or only this age. But yet still, you have to have some sort of estate established. A lot of people love to talk about wills and having insurance policies and things of that nature. But yet still, Tate could have had a trust that had certain things aligned to within that trust. I think Candy and her mom had a conversation about her estate too, because she wasn't happy that Todd could try to come in and shift it, which probably gonna take money for her. But anyway, but I think the thing when it comes to estates in our culture is that we don't talk enough openly about what should be in there. How is it going to be established? How things work per state? Because the way that things work in Georgia is not going to be the way that things work in California. Interestingly enough, California, as well as Georgia and New York and Texas, all have very interesting estate laws. I had to myself learn about estate laws when my dad passed away, because he had his will set up probably 20 plus years ago. And then the dynamics of his life changed, meaning he married again after my mom, but yet still he didn't feel the need to update it. And things shifted dramatically because the way it works in South Carolina. So it's just the fact that people have to A, establish a trust, B, an estate plan, see what's going to work, because no two estates are alike, just like no two budgets are alike. And then seeing how things work in that state, making sure everything that you own or could own in the future is going to be there, and that you update it every so often. I always say, I tell my clients to update at least every year or any kind of dynamic shift that could be. And one of the things that I hate is that people get life insurance policies at their job and then they leave their job and it stays there. That's the thing that I've seen a lot of people deal with. And when it comes to Takeoff, if he would have had some kind of estate established, that this wouldn't have been happening. because the state pretty much is going to outline any instructions that you have for your assets to be distributed and to be carried throughout after your death. Because we see how long, who was that? James Brown, they was fighting over his estate for years. And well, I don't
also,
know what.
He also was on tour before he passed, before he they buried him too. So that was another thing with that.
But that was another thing.
They had him all over the world. Yep. Actually trying
and
to
then Chadwick Boseman, he passed and he felt that him, I mean, they was going to get married anyway, but him and his wife, which is his widow, was going to be set, but his parents contested all of his estate, period.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, for some reason, I've been catching all the estate situations, especially even who's the one that's been the most interesting to see, Prince.
Yes.
Some of his siblings or half siblings that I'm going to sell part of my shares to, I think, his company. And it was just a mess. So when it came to takeoff, he probably felt that he had all the time in the world, that he didn't have to have any kind of estate established, any kind of trust will or whatever. And the unfortunate happened. And I just hope that Mama Tate is fine. And that, of course, this is his dad needs something. It is what it is. But the fact of the matter is, if this would have been already established, it wouldn't have been any need for any kind of probate to step in. Because probate court is very long, annoying, and expensive. And you kind of forfeit that by having a trust established and not having any wealth for the will to be contested because it's already there.
It gets real nasty, man, after people pass away, like with these cases. I saw something about, I don't know how true it was, maybe a satire article or whatever. This is economics, but it is shooting shit, so we can talk about that too.
Nadia needs to know, because Sean be finding these articles and stories sometimes. we wonder where he find them, but go ahead, Sean.
They find him.
Apparently.
My algorithm is crazy. So it was a story that I guess Aaliyah's family may have settled with R. Kelly because they were gonna try to sue him. I guess about the past marriage thing. And like I said, I don't know how true it was, but they said that he signed over the rights to his first three albums. It sounds crazy, but you know, they have kind of had like a back and forth about them releasing music and stuff like that, anyways, though. But I don't know. Yeah, did y'all hear about that?
I did see something about that. Yeah, but seeing how Aaliyah's uncle moved about her catalog, anything is possible now.
Everything's negotiable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and when it comes to money, you see how people really act, right? When it comes to money and somebody passes away, right away the entitlement. You know, the person could have never been there for your life or even checked up on you. And now you pass away and they know that, you know, you have a few coins and now they want, you know, half of something that they don't deserve. And, you know, I've seen that in my own family. You know, we're from Puerto Rico, so there's land involved in that. So once one of the elders pass away that have a certain amount of land and property in Puerto Rico, you know, all the brothers and sisters, they want, and, they either want a piece of it or they want all of it, or, you know, somebody wants to build, somebody wants to sell. So that's when you really see the claws come out of people when, you know, when somebody passes and they feel like I said, they're entitled to something, you know, that somebody else worked extremely hard for. Mm-hmm. You see everybody's true colors. Yes.
Greed is seen a lot with death in many layers. And like you were saying, how everybody feels entitled to things that maybe they put equity into. Maybe they didn't. They just feel it just because I know this person, I'm entitled to this and that. And it's sad because as people put life insurance policies out on the other person, and they feel that that wasn't enough, and it can get ugly. Mm-hmm. It's sad very quick. And then, I can write a book on mine, but you
know, I have seen it.
Everything's negotiable. Nadia, thank you. I think we're gonna go ahead and wrap up the live. We don't want to give away too much sauce or whatever. Hopefully we can definitely get you back. You know, I think you do a lot of great stuff. You have a lot of great content. Nadia, tell everybody where they can catch you at.
Pretty much on everything, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. I'm Envy Knows. Which is pretty much Nadia Vanderhall knows. My friend gave me that. My website is NadiaCVanderhall.com. And that's about it. That's pretty much where I am.
Thank you, Nadia. Thank you. We really appreciate all the gems that you done dropped for all of us and everybody on the live and you know, people who are going to be tuning in. We really appreciate you, you know, taking out your time and, you know, coming and sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Make sure y'all follow her on the gram. Y'all see the Instagram up on the screen. Make sure y'all subscribe to that YouTube channel. Once again, youtube.com/shootingtheshit. Instagram at Shooting the Shit Podcast. And, of course, on Facebook, Shooting the Shit. So make sure you subscribe to all of our social media because we got a lot more content coming in 2023. But, yeah, man, thank you again for pulling up. We got to get you back sometime, too.
Just let me know. I wouldn't mind coming back.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. We talk. We conversational. You know.
I know. I listened to your podcast episodes already. So I already knew what I was doing.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Bless you. Know me already, so you already know.
Sean was calm today. Sean didn't say nothing too crazy
it
this time.
Been extra. I'm known the extra. So.
Oh man. Shooting
the
shit economics, y'all.
Facts.
Shooting
the motherfucking shit, y'all.
We're going to ride out with some money bag, yo, and then we're going to jump off this live and make sure y'all check us out tomorrow. This full episode will be dropping. And then Sunday, we right back at it, man.
Yo, yes, matter of fact, because y'all going to hit us tomorrow, shout out to my frat, man, Cap Alpha Psi, J5. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Go. I ain't never ran from a nigga.
No, I ain't never.
If I did, cut my legs out
right now.
I ain't never been with the whole talk, snitch talk. Always talking about his fault.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm a stand up nigga. Got my bands up, nigga. You don't wanna see me pissed off.
Real talk.
Never tell a lie to a bitch, dog.
Nope.
When it come to them, you gotta play around. And I never ever let the fuckery get to me.
Why not?
Niggas ain't worth my energy.
What you had to do?
Cut them off, make them feel it. I ain't dealing with nothing if it don't make sense to me.
Never ever ever.
I never ever ever go against my kind for some niggas on the other side.
Never ever ever.
I never ever ever put a bitch for the money. Gotta get it when it come to mind. Lately, I feel like it's me versus me. Don't see competition, why would you compete?
Huh?
Don't even gotta be woke, still gonna be up.
How?
I make a bag in my sleep.
Okay.
Can't get the hood out of me, you know where I be.
Work.
Still posted up like I leased.
Down.
Trust me, them choppers gonna bang. Cavity teeth.